Hey, welcome to Sounding Off with Kim Munson. This is our podcast. I'm thrilled to have on the line with me Dr. Jill Vecchio. These conversations are really rich. Dr. Jill Vecchio read the complete PP. What was that? I always get that wrong. PPACA, is that what it is, Jill?
PPACA.
Yeah. PPACA.
It's called Obamacare. Yeah,
okay.
Most people aren't going to know what PPACA or whatever it is. Yeah.
Okay. And so she read the complete piece of legislation, unlike many of the legislators that passed it, and so really has been helping people understand different things about different issues. Today we're going to be talking about 5G. And, you know, we're seeing these 5G towers pop up everywhere. You know, they're the much fatter new towers that you're seeing by your streets and your on the streets and schools or whatever. And so, Jill, you have really started to kind of delve into 5G. So set that up for us.
Well, I got this book. It's called Stealth War by Brigadier General Robert Spalding. He's been in the NSA, worked at the Pentagon as a Chinese strategy specialist. He spent a lot of time in China. He speaks fluent Mandarin. Studied in China for a while, really admires the Chinese people, but he knows a whole lot about how of the interaction of the Chinese Communist Party with the Chinese people, the Chinese companies, how the economy works. And the more you learn about it, I encourage everybody to look up Brigadier General Robert Spalding. He has a lot of videos out. Some are in shorter clips, but there's a lot of information that will kind of blow your mind about what's been going on in China. And 5G is one of the big things. China has developed 5G through a company called Huawei, H-U-A-W-U-A, I think it is. Huawei, I may have spelled that wrong. Anyway, but since U.S. was the first to have 4G, China is going to be the first to actually have 5G, although now we're working on developing 5G here in the U.S. through U.S. companies. But China's idea was they developed this incredible 5G network and then sell that technology through Huawei, through this company, to European countries and Africa and so forth. So they wanted worldwide control of the 5G network. Now, let me explain in real simple terms, because that's how I understand it to be. So if I give incorrect information, please, people listening, let us know. But this is just a very basic understanding of it. The 4G, 1.3 through 4G, those networks were using lower frequency wavelengths. A lower frequency wavelength can pass through buildings and tissues and trees and things like that. The 5G is a much higher frequency technology because, and there's a lot of that bandwidth available at this higher frequency. So 5G can kind of own this higher frequency. And it allows for massively more connectivity. More things can be routed through a 5G network because there's so much more availability of wavelength. Also, because it's a shorter wavelength, it doesn't pass through buildings, trees, things like that, which means that they need to have a lot more relaying stations posted around. Like, you'd need to have one every city block. They can put them on the outside of buildings, you know, at traffic lights, things like that. Which means, now that you think about it, okay, so we've got this network. Do you really need to download a movie in 15 seconds instead of 3 minutes? Do you really need that? And that's what we're being told is, oh, it's going to be so much faster. Oh, blah, 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 blah. The problem with it is now you have these relaying stations and sensors, location sensors, every city block, theoretically. it's not going to be useful in rural areas because they can't accommodate, and it wouldn't be worth the money to put in all these sensors. But in cities, they can do it, as I said, every city block. In China, that's exactly what they've done. They have 350,000 of these relaying sensor stations that also include facial recognition software. One tracking station like that for every two people in Beijing. One for every two people. It can see facial recognition, it hears your voice, and it interacts with your cell phone.
Wow.
This is already happening in China. He gives Brigadier General Spalding gives the example of, in China, you can you can order Kentucky Fried Chicken for takeout. So you order it on your phone. When you approach the Kentucky Fried, they can see facial recognition software. You never take out your phone. You don't even have to tell them that you're there. They know it's you. They hand you your meal, and it's already paid for through your phone. According to him, 5G, go ahead if you had a question, because there's almost more disturbing stuff than this.
Well, on one hand, you go, that seems convenient, but yet China has, they now are ranking people with like their social markers,
points.
I guess, or social
points. Right. They get credits for how good a citizen they are. Right.
So let's
they get special privileges or something for being a good citizen, and all that's monitored through their cell phones.
So you there might be 1 second where you go, that sounds pretty interesting. And then all of a sudden you start to think about, there could be big danger in this.
Right. Now, and China has already used this technology for identification and control of the 11 million Uyghur Muslims that are in China. People may have heard that they have a bunch of imprisoned Uyghur Muslims, concentration camps for Uyghur Muslims, and they keep an eye on the ones that aren't in the concentration camps.
I did not know that.
Apparently, a lot of Chinese will have 5 or 6 cell phones. Each one may have 5 or 6 cell phones.
Because?
Kind of wild.
Huh.
I'm not sure. I don't know if some of the cell phones may be for work, and some cell phone may be designated for this task or this endeavor. I don't know.
Okay. Interesting.
But their whole lives are on their cell phones. The 5G technology also, let's see here. I want to go through my notes here. Oh, this is interesting. So Brigadier General Spalding, who has a master's degree in economics something else, but he does a lot of tech work. He understands a lot of tech stuff. He said the difference with the 5G and the way it's used in China, especially through this Huawei, and remember, I think we've mentioned this before on the show and podcast, every large Chinese company, certainly the companies that the Chinese Communist Party are most interested in promoting and using them to compete with the U.S. and other countries around the world for technological and scientific dominance. For instance, Huawei, the 5G company, always has on its board of directors a member of the Chinese Communist Party. Always. It's a law in China that these influential, powerful companies have to have a member of the Chinese Communist Party on their board of directors. So there's no such thing as a truly privately held company, big company in China. And translate that to Huawei now selling, wanting to sell their 5G platform and program out to all these other countries. That's the concern of the United States for, say, Canada or the UK, Germany. A lot of NATO countries have been considering 5G from this Chinese company, Huawei. Most of them now, the UK and Canada, decided not to do it. And hopefully they're working with, there's a group called the Five Eyes, which is really kind of just English-speaking countries, Britain, or United States, Great Britain, or UK, France. I don't know. No, not France. I think it's Australia, New Zealand, and Canada. Those are the five. So kind of the five English, primarily English-speaking countries. Anyway, they're called the Five Eyes, is EYES, if people ever hear that term, that's what that means. But they're trying to work together to come up with a coordinated plan otherwise for 5G. And then there's also some rare earth mineral coordination with that, so that we will have access to the necessary means and resources to do our own technology research, manufacturing, development, which is really great, and that's happening right now. The difference with the 5G is that, and I don't know if I can explain this as well as he does, but there's the pipeline, like the bandwidth. Who owns the frequency network? Like, you know, like Verizon or AT&T. So Huawei is that. And then there's who owns the platform, like the Apple, Google, that kind of stuff. Who owns that platform? Huawei owns that as well in China. And they have combined those two, so Huawei owns the entire network, one company. One company that is beholden to and partially controlled by the Chinese Communist Party. Already in, there was a country in Africa, what is it called? The African Union had the 5G. I think they did get the 5G. China put it in there, and I'm sure, like, as a favor, right? So China does a lot of charity work, mm-hmm. with African countries, because that gives them access to a lot of information, a lot of power, especially in the UN. You think about what countries are very numerous in the United Nations and so forth. So China weasels their way into the hearts of the African countries, especially, and they have a lot of natural resources that China can use.
Mm-hmm.
So China had this 5G network installed, but what the African Union found out was very quickly that the Chinese server they had there was at night downloading sensitive governmental information to the Chinese Communist Party. That's the question. And Huawei is spelled, I'm sorry, Huawei, that company is Huawei. The MO has already been set. This is what they want to do. That's why the U.S. and Trump was so concerned about not having 5G, not having the U.K., because Boris Johnson was considering getting the Huawei version of 5G in the U.K. because they could get it more quickly, right? They wanted to get it all signed up, and there's a big demand for it. And when, you know, Trump in the U.S. kind of says, please don't do that, because then we won't be able to talk to you. We don't feel as though that's a secure enough network to share any intelligence. So from a NATO standpoint and a geopolitical standpoint, it's really important who has Huawei or China's version of 5G versus some other version of 5G.
Okay.
And what their motivations are.
Okay. So you sent over for review this piece in the New Yorker that really goes through a lot of this information on 5G. So the first concern regarding 5G would be the fact that China with Huawei, you know, it was downloading information from a country and sending it back to the Chinese Communist Party. So that, from a geopolitical standpoint, that certainly is a lot of concern. But the next thing that I see that's a concern, and that is that it could be everyday people could really be opening themselves up to cybersecurity issues. So on one hand, you say, oh, it's so great, my whole, you know, my whole home is connected, and, you know, I can turn this on and I can turn that on, but you can also, that can be turned off. And so there's a correlating or an opposite effect there. And so you could be hacked, and that would not be a good thing. So I see that cybersecurity for everyday citizens as a real concern with 5G as well, Jill.
Right, exactly. And there's, he talks about, because we've already, what, Tesla has the driverless vehicle, right? Mm-hmm. Controlled through your phone or through cyber, whatever. Well, that would obviously come under the 5G umbrella. What if somebody decided to run your car because they know who's in there? What if they decided to run your car off a cliff or slam it in, cause some huge car accident at some vital time or place? Yeah. Hacking is happening all the time. I mean, that cyber terrorism is a huge problem. Can you imagine what it would be under 5G?
Wow.
Apparently, 5G can accommodate 1 million devices, not just cell phones. We're talking surveillance devices, whatever they decide to put in. 1 million devices per square mile. Per square mile.
Well, think about this. Everyday people.
Exactly. And it's perfectly set up for that. And to have it completely networked in. Apparently, with the 1G through 4G, there were ways to separate out, and I don't know if it was done through the frequency bands or how that was separated out, but there were ways to firewall or secure certain things. With 5G, it's much more difficult. It's not impossible, but it's certainly much more difficult to isolate and secure certain, it must be, frequencies.
Well, Jill, you know, while we were all supposed to be locked up during the COVID-19 Wuhan virus reaction disruption, as I was starting to go out and about, I saw that a lot of these 5G poles had been installed while we were all locked up. I thought that was kind of fascinating.
Yeah. Well, it was a good time for them to do it. You know, it gave them something to do, I guess, broken window theory. But at the same time, yeah, it was a great time to fix the roads. Not all of them got fixed.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But, yes, and people are now talking about it because we didn't even hear about 5G until Trump got into office. But it's been happening. And Obama's administration was working on it, but we don't know what their goals were, what their aim was. Certainly the Obama administration, I can't think of anything that they did, or Clinton or Bush's, any of them for the last couple of decades, haven't done anything to protect us from China the way that this administration has. That's always been one of this administration's strong points, was letting us know what was going on with China. And that, thanks to the coronavirus, I think a lot of people are waking up and starting to look at what's really our relationship with China, how much at risk are we, and it's frightening how much we are at risk at every level. There's something else that was really interesting, and I think the listeners would very much be interested in. According to this Brigadier General Robert Spalding, in an interview, he said the companies operating in China, through which, like all of us, probably have a money market or something in our retirement portfolio that is an investment in an international market or an investment in a Chinese company that may be doing business physically here in the U.S. as well as in China. So Wall Street puts all these Chinese companies into their portfolios, sells them to retirement plans, pension plans, so forth, and average and regular citizens, but doesn't tell them, or maybe it's in the fine print, that they have no way to audit a Chinese company. A Chinese company's books are controlled through the Chinese government, CCP, cannot be audited, they do not have to declare anything. And it's not unusual for the Chinese Communist Party, apparently, to take some assets or cash out of a Chinese company if they so choose at any given time for any given project. So the Chinese companies, it's sounding a lot like 2008, right, with the housing market collapse. Wall Street is selling people a product that includes something that could easily be completely worthless that they have not done their homework on because they're not able to do their homework. Wall Street cannot fully analyze these companies. Whatever information these companies put out could be completely false. There is no like official document that has to be filed on Wall Street that says that this is absolutely true and you know you have access to verifying these numbers like we have in our system. But think about how heavily invested Wall Street is in China financially and through these companies. And now that we're starting to do our own manufacturing, now that the people are opening their eyes about China, what happens if people decide not to invest in these companies? Or that would probably be the better thing. Pull out of your whatever investments you have in Chinese companies. The problem is they're usually embedded in pension plans and mutual funds. You can't pick and choose.
Okay. So this is a new conversation. I just talked just recently with Jason McBride about that as well. And so I hadn't really thought about it like that. That is concerning that you cannot audit, you know, that they don't have to come up to the same standards as the American company. So thank you. I hadn't thought about it that way. So thank you on that one.
That was interesting.
Jill.
So I just kind of thought I'd throw it out there. It is kind of, I did kind of take a sideways step, but I was so shocked when I heard that I'm thinking, oh my gosh, people need to know this as soon as possible.
Yeah. Okay.
And it's like, and why is Wall Street allowed to do this? Why are they getting away with this? If there's no way for us to check, there's no way for us to know that this is a stable, viable investment, then why are they putting it in our portfolios?
Well, and really, you know, that would be the board of directors, you know, that are making the decisions of these different, you know, these different pension plans. So I think this is the step in the right direction, is shedding light on this. And then people that are invested in these plans need to be putting pressure on their board of directors to, you know, check this all out. So I think that's really important. So China, I had Josh Phillips on with the Epoch Times, and he actually said,
"Oh, really?
Yeah." He said that he was really encouraged that the Trump administration has made real strides in, you know, kind of getting China's power in check. And he said, if, you know, before this, he was not very encouraged, but he is encouraged about what is actually happening. So through, for example, the, you know, the tariffs and the trade war, that a number of companies that were manufacturing in China are going to other countries now for that manufacturing. I think we're going to see manufacturing come back to the United States. What happened in America, Jill, is through, you know, taxes and regulations and rules, we have made labor so expensive, and a lot of that you could say thank you to the labor unions, that in essence, you know, a lot of this manufacturing has moved offshore. I think a lot of that's going to come back, and I think there'll be a resurgence in our rural communities. But he was very encouraged, which I take that because he's watched China, you know, he's an expert on it, and I found that really encouraging.
Exactly. I do, too. I always try to remember that it is a very thinly edged sword that Trump is, like, dangling across. You know, they're just trying to tiptoe across at this point. China still has control over so many different aspects of our everything we do. Technology, manufacturing, medicine especially. All these things that literally we have to survive versus moving manufacturing back to the United States, moving investment back to the United States, getting more jobs here. And China is developing military technology that is very advanced. So we have to try to counteract that. It's kind of like, how do you manage all of this? Because by moving manufacturing back to China, investment back to the U.S., investment back to the U.S., all of these different products and intellectual property back to the U.S., that could destroy China's economy completely, which could or may not cause a collapse in the CCP. You know what I mean?
Right.
So or it could really irritate them so that they decide to lash out. And if they have the military expertise, if they control this much technology around the world, you know, that's as diplomatically, I can't imagine anything more difficult to navigate.
Well, and if that was your sole focus on, you know, as your job as president, that would be a big thing right there. Trump has a whole lot of different things going on, and it is quite a tightrope. Another question regarding 5G. You're a doc, and I've had people reach out to me that they're concerned about health concerns with this. Now, you just mentioned that it's a higher frequency. So what do you think about that, Dr. Jill?
It's interesting. I have not gone so far as to look at all of the health risks to that. I think about the penetration of the waves, of the wavelengths. So 1G through 4G had a longer wavelength. It penetrated. It could penetrate through, like, human skin and things like that. The 5G at a higher frequency doesn't go as far. It doesn't penetrate as much, like through buildings and things like that. I mean, you know, for example, when you're in a hospital, a lot, sometimes, especially in a radiology department, we have a lot of lead-lined rooms that have lead embedded in the walls to protect, keep the radiation from our equipment from going through the wall into the next room or something, because it can't. So we have a lot of lead lines, so your cell phone won't work in certain areas of the hospital. And that includes, like, the operating rooms have some stuff that won't, so your cell phone won't work there. So it'd be kind of like that. So the higher frequencies don't go as far. They're stopped by more things. So from a health standpoint, it sounds like, and supposedly it doesn't penetrate skin, but from that standpoint, it seems like, so how is it more harmful than the lower frequencies, which do penetrate things? As in the higher frequency, higher energy, and I don't remember my physics well enough to give that, how the frequency correlates with energy and which energies would be more damaging. So that, I don't know.
Okay. So probably the jury is out on this. And so I now, after going through this whole COVID-19 Wuhan virus reaction disruption, I don't totally trust the experts anymore. So when they say it doesn't penetrate the skin, you know, I think I'm like, okay, show me. I want to understand all this more. And I think that probably there, you know, we'll have to revisit this particular component of it. But 5G at this point, we do realize two things. First of all, Huawei, which is a Chinese company, and all companies have someone with the Communist Chinese or Chinese Communist Party on their board, is really an extension probably of Communist China. So we need to be really concerned about that.
And, exactly.
And then also as individuals, if everything's connected, which is cool, everything's connected and it can be hacked. And so there's concern there. So those are the two, I think, big takeaways that I'm getting. So Jill, we're just about out of time. What is it that you would like to leave with our listeners? What's that takeaway, that nugget that you always are so great about coming up with?
I guess one of the things I think about with the 5G that's scary is that we have a generation of kids that are buried in their cell phones, never lift their eyes from a cell phone, have earbuds in their ears constantly, and will download just about any app, right? That's what is disturbing. I could live without a cell phone. It would be really, 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 really hard these days, but I suppose I could do it. Just move to a rural place. How about that? Everybody move to a rural place.
I think that's...
They won't have it's not worth their money to put in 5G. But, you know, it sounds like it's going to be great, and all you see in the mainstream is how great it's going to be for all these high speeds and all this connectivity, and, oh, won't this be great, when you always have to look at the whole picture before you make a decision. It's just another case of educate yourself. Don't look at the first page that shows up on your Google search. Go a few pages back. Go a few pages further on, because that's where you're going to get some of the real information. And I find it really frightening. It reminds me of the movie Kingsman. I'm not going to go into it, but there's a great movie, Kingsman. It's a spoof on James Bond and MI6 kind of stuff. But the crazy guy is Samuel L. Jackson, and he's going to use this incredibly worldwide connected network and put software in cell phone SIM cards, give away the SIM cards, offering people free internet and all this free stuff. Everybody gets the SIM card for free, puts it into their cell phone, and the cell phone, the program is initiated, and it changes people's behavior instantly through their cell phone. So it was just kind of prescient, almost profound from a 2015 movie. Sometimes Hollywood is a little, you wonder where they get their information.
Well,
few years later, you're like, wait a second, I saw a movie about this.
Yeah, and I remember, I don't know that I really sat down and watched the whole movie of The Matrix because I thought it was creepy, but it's like...
Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes I'm like, yeah, we're living in interesting times. So it's so important to stay informed on all these issues. And Jill, I mean, when you get on a subject, reading the whole Obamacare bill, I mean, you do everything you can to totally inform yourself. I'd encourage all people to try to do that.
And it's not that hard. Just find a source that you trust, and, when you find a person that you really like Robert F. Kennedy Jr., Brigadier General Robert Spalding, they have a great kind of scientific approach to it. They speak the truth. They speak plainly, and they have the credentials to back up whatever it is that they're talking about. Trust those people, not a news reporter, because reporters they can't know everything about everything. Okay, they are not experts on anything. So don't trust a news reporter. Don't trust any kind of a news agency or source. Don't get your information entirely from a source that gives 2 to 3 minute interviews for every one of their guests. If you really like the guest, go find out from the guest if they have a longer version of things. Take the time to do it. Just, you can even just have it going. Like when I'm making dinner, I've got a YouTube video on of something that I want to learn about while I'm cutting up veggies or whatever. And it's just playing in the background, and I can educate myself that way. Don't trust sound clips. Don't trust bumper stickers. Don't trust a quick 5-minute interview on CNN or Fox News, because you're not getting any information from that.
That's for sure. And so every day we have a choice on how we spend our time, and it's important that we're engaged in this battle of ideas. So Dr. Jill Vecchio, thank you so much for joining Sounding Off with Kim Munson.
Thank you.
And my friends, God bless you and God bless America.